Do you need help?
I'm not looking for any help. And besides, there's nothing to help with. What are you doing? You can't just climb into my boat.
You're right. Give me a helping hand.
What do you think you're doing?
We're going fishing.
There are no fish out there this time of day. In fact, there are no fish out here any time of day.
Peter. Just give me an hour. And I will give you a whole new life.
Who says I want one?
I tell you.
There's no fish out there.
How did this happen? What did you do?
I'm giving you the chance to change your life. Peter, come with me. Give up catching fish, and I will make you a fisher of men.
What are we gonna do?
Change the world. Amen. We're going to start a new series. And the series is going to be Walking with Jesus. And we're going to take it from now until way past Easter. We're going to say, right now we're going to be walking with Jesus. We're going to be with Jesus as he assembles his disciples and he goes through the ministry, and then we're going to then die with Jesus through Easter, and then we're going to be raised again to life, and then we're going to live with Jesus. So for the next couple of months, we're going to do nothing but walk with Jesus the whole time, and we're going to change the world. This group right here is going to change the world. The past couple of weeks, we've been looking to have an intentional relationship, intentional about our relationship with God, because you can't have the vertical, the horizontal relationship without a good relationship with God and with Jesus Christ. So we want to be intentional about that. And what better way to be intentional about our walk with God, an intentional relationship with God, than to have a walk with God, a walk with Jesus Christ. And with walking with others and having an intentional relationship with others, walking alongside them, teaching them, raising them up, bringing them in. Last week, Pastor Ron talked about the spiritual disciplines in the engagement. He talked about our prayer life. Our prayer life, family. If we don't have a prayer life, we have nothing. We have no way of an intentional relationship with God without our prayer life. And to read His Word. How do we even know what He wants if we don't read? We've got to be intentional about that relationship. To be engaged. To have that closer walk. And during the weeks to come, we're going to be walking alongside of Jesus as He teaches His disciples. As He teaches them important lessons so that the title of this message, or the title of the whole series, this particular series, is Walking with Jesus. And today is a new calling from Jesus. The title this morning is a new and a higher calling with Jesus. And I want to begin our journey with Jesus in the Galilean Sea. And I know that we're going to look at Luke chapter 5. So everybody turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse 1. We're only going to read the first three verses for right now. It says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret," and it's known as Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, "and saw two ships standing by the lake, by the fishermen, were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship." Now, the account that was in the video is a little different. Of course, they have to dramatize things, and it's pretty accurate. You get the idea from what you saw, what we're going to be talking about. The Bible's account has it a little bit differently. Jesus' ministry had already started. It's already starting, and he's got the multitude. Everybody is hearing about Jesus' miracles. And they want to see what this man's all about. So they come to the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd, can you imagine the crowd being so much that it presses Jesus all the way to the shoreline, and he gets into a boat and says, and he gets into Peter's boat, Simon Peter, and he says, "Go out a little while away so I can preach." So he preaches and he teaches to the multitude. And once he finishes, he gives Simon instructions to put out his nets. We're going to take a look at three principles of a deeper call, a new and a deeper call of Jesus to us. Take a look at verse 4 through 7. It says, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink." Sink. What a multitude, huh? Two ships, so many fish, that they began to sink. Wow, that's a lot. When Jesus tells Simon to launch out into the deep, there is something more to it than just going out into deeper waters, family. You've got to see the spiritual application of this physical picture. It's not just, hey, we're going to go fishing. Let's go out and let's go into the deeper walk. The analogy of what Jesus wants to do in Simon's life, Jesus is going to take Simon Peter to a deeper, more personal commitment to himself. That's what he wants. And that's what he wants for us. He wants that for us, for you and me. He wants us to go out into the deeper waters. Spiritually, he wants us to go deeper with him, to understand him, to walk with him, have a closer walk with him, have an intentional walk with him. He doesn't want you staying at the shore. Now we can all understand Peter's response. We have all been in that place. Like, you know, some of you may have be there right now. A place where Jesus tells us in our hearts what to do, but we allow our circumstances or our expertise in the matter or our friends to dictate what we will do. Peter knows that on the Galilean Sea, there are no fish in the daytime. He knows that. He's been fishing for years. That's his livelihood. He says, Jesus, you know what? I can't go out there. There's no fish. What are you, crazy? That's a lot of work to do that. There are no fish during the day. Or he may have said, the nets are clean, because they are. He's out there. It takes a little bit to do this, okay? So when you pull your nets in, you've got to take all the seaweed out. You've got to take, certainly wasn't any fish in that net that day. He's got to take all the seaweed out. He's got to dry them. He's got to untangle them. He's got to lay them over, and they got to dry. All right? He doesn't want to do it. I'm not doing that again. I'm not going to have to throw my nets over, and there's no fish over there. I'm going to bring my nets back up. I'm going to have to clean them all over again. I'm tired. Or maybe his friends are nearby, and they're telling him he's crazy. Hey, you're crazy. You're going to go back out there? We heard what he asked you to do. You're crazy. We haven't had any fish all night. And maybe that's all too familiar to you. Is Jesus telling you to go deeper? And is your answer to him something like, you know, I work full time. I can't do anything. Or I would have to wake up an hour earlier. I already wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. That means I'll have to wake up an hour or a half an hour early to read my Bible and to pray to God. What? You crazy? I'm tired. I work hard all during the week. Or what would my friends say if they see me getting closer? Would they think I'm a fanatic? We're all tempted. We're all tempted to have those same responses, to be guided by our fears and our circumstances rather than to just listen to what God is wanting us to do in our lives, what he's trying to work in our lives. But Peter, in his response, he says, in verse 5, he says, and Simon answered, said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Now look, he says, look, I'm tired. That's what toiled means. Toiled isn't just like I worked all day sitting behind a desk. And I did some paperwork, or toil is hard work. That's like you go out and dig a ditch all day long. That's tired. That's dog tired. And he's tired, and he's saying, look, I toiled all night. They hadn't slept all night. They've been up all night long. They haven't caught a thing. It was futile. No fish. So what's the point? Obedience to Jesus would mean taking that freshly cleaned net, row out into the deep, throw them out, and then take them back in again and do the whole process over again. But they needed to learn the obedience to Jesus doesn't hang upon favorable circumstances. It doesn't. Obedience to him doesn't mean that I can see that everything is going to be good. That if I be obedient to my giving or to my whatever it is, that I'll have plenty, and it doesn't hang on those circumstances or those promises. My obedience is my obedience to Him because He's Almighty God. We will all allow circumstances to dictate your obedience. I do it too. I'm the same way. I'll tell you, sometimes recently, and as a matter of fact, that I begin to rely on my circumstances. I begin on to rely on what my knowledge is and my expertise in finances and management and everything else, and I don't see it. You know what? I begin to rely on my understanding of things when there's not enough money to pay all the bills in the church. I start relying on me. Or we can't run the buses because we don't have, and we can't pick up the kids because we don't have the money to repair them or to put gas in them or whatever. I start relying on me. I begin to allow my circumstances to tell me to not push out into the deep. Stay shallow. They say, I'll just take a seat and stay shallow. And that's what many people do. They just take a seat and say, you know what? I'm doing my fair share. I'll just come Sunday morning and I'll take a seat and I'm okay with that because I don't want to go deeper because I know what deep means. Deep means that I have to throw out my nets. I have to trust in what Jesus is telling me to be. I have to obey. I know that casting out to the deep is scary and less familiar, but it's where God's blessings are. That's where you find God's blessings. Not in the shallow water, because it doesn't take much to do that. It's out in the deep. It's out in the deep. That's where you'll find it. That's where His blessings are. Take a look at verse 6 and 7. It says, and when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their nets brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other side, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Their nets were overflowing. Can you hear the crowd on the shore right now? Yeah, I can't believe it. You went out, you toiled, your baskets were empty when you came in, but now you've got two boats full. So Peter's calling demanded a greater commitment. The next thing I want you to see is an invitation to a greater intimacy. We see from verse 8 the effect Jesus had on Peter. It said, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Now, what we see is Peter's reaction to a face-to-face encounter with Almighty God. That's pretty awesome. A face-to-face with Almighty God. And he's not telling Jesus to leave because he says, depart from me. He's not saying, get out of here. I don't want you to be around me. But what he is doing is like others in the Bible will say. Let me just read you a couple of verses that I pulled out. That when other people have an encounter with Jesus Christ or an encounter with Almighty God, this is their response. It's just like Peter's. In Isaiah 6, chapter 1, verse 1 and 5, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Now Isaiah is saying, I saw God. And then he says in verse 5, then I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. That's what he said. He said, woe is me. I see Almighty God. Job, in Job 42, 5 and 6, it says, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see you. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. That's an encounter with Jesus. That's an encounter with an almighty God. John says it in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17. It says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. As dead. He's not telling Jesus to leave. He just knows that this is an encounter with an almighty God. Peter doesn't want Jesus to leave, but he feels unworthy to be in his presence. But as our walk with Jesus deepens and our understanding that forgiveness of sin is only found in him, we will, like Peter, desire to walk closer and closely to him in a more intimate way. And lastly, I want you to see, he calls us to a new way of life. In verse 9 and 10, it says, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fish which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the son of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. Jesus tells Peter that his future business would be not catching fish. Bringing them, now listen to this, bringing them from life to death. Because that's what you do when you fish, right? You take a living thing and it dies. So it's not, Jesus says, listen, Peter, it's not going to be this way. You're not going to fish and take life to death. But catching men, bringing them from death to life, a new life in Jesus Christ. The word catch in verse 10 literally means to catch alive. It's kind of as taking animals alive for the circus or a zoo. Sometimes it seems that we think that there are two kinds of Christians. Those who catch the animals and those who come to look at them. But this is not the way it is supposed to be. The church is not a spectator society in which the zoo to see what, we come to the zoo to see what is happening, but we are all to be a part of the process. Every miracle in the Bible, every miracle that Jesus did has a purpose. And this one's no different. Peter now sees Jesus in a new light. Jesus is Lord and he is a sinful man. And Peter saw his own reluctance to obey the Lord's command to let down the nets as sin. Peter had just confessed to being a sinner and testified to the greatness of his Lord. Jesus responds in the second half of verse 10. By a command not to fear. He says, and Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men, and promised that he is to be a fisher of men. Verse 11 says, and when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. They get to the shore and walk away from probably the absolute biggest catch of their life. They walk away from it. I can't even imagine that. They walk away from the biggest catch that they ever saw or ever had. Can you imagine the money, the income that they could have had, the resources that they could have had with two full boats? They could have lived on that for a long, long time. They walked away from it. So now the question is, are we to stop and what we're doing right now, quit our jobs and everything and follow Jesus? Well, the New Testament doesn't say that. The New Testament shows us that not everyone is called into full-time ministry. Not everyone is going to quit their jobs and work as a pastor or whatever. Paul kept working as a tent maker, as he ministered. The important thing is that we understand that we are called to make our walk with Jesus a priority. It's got to be. I worked 35 years. And for the last 5 years of my employment, I was full-time pastor. Here. Out of town most of the time. Came here and ministered. You can do that. I know you can do that. Pastor Ron did it. Pastor Ron worked full-time and was a pastor here at the church at the same time. I know it can be done, and I know you can do it. If you desire to push out into the deep. We need to do that so that we are ready to be whenever or whatever God wants us to be. For an example, Nathan. You all heard that he went down to Texas. Here's a young man who went to college. He was in Liberty University and came back here, and he was doing our some slides and stuff. And he felt a call. And Alan, Pastor Alan, gave him an opportunity to go down and work with Elvario. Now, Elvario is working closely with something called the Youth Revolution. Youth Revolution means in 2015, they want to make sure that they evangelize 1 million kids around the world. And let me tell you what I committed to when I was in that meeting in Dallas. Pastor Ron and I committed to doing 50,000 of them in 2015. 50,000 kids will hear the gospel in the United States. Do I know how we're going to do it? Nope. But I'm going to go out in the deep. And I want you to come with me. I want you to come out in the deep with me. Mission is to be fishers of men. And he is calling you. Sometimes work is the field where he wants you to evangelize at your workplace, to talk about Jesus Christ. Only you know where he's calling you. This morning, is God calling you? He wants you for a larger destiny. He is inviting you to join him in a powerful mission to a lost world. Will you answer the call? God expects us to obey simply because he spoke it. It is his command, and on the basis of it, we are to spiritually launch out into the deeper waters and let down our nets. And then he will accomplish the results. We all stand, every head bowed and every eye closed. I'll tell you what, 50,000 people, 50,000 young folks, in the year 2015, we've already started planning. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're going to walk out into those deep waters and we're going to do it. Because you know what? Each and every one of us are sitting here today because somebody told us about Jesus Christ. What will your part be? What will your part be in the ministry at Calvary Baptist Church? Will it be filling up the seat beside you with a neighbor, an unsaved neighbor? Have you invited anybody recently? Maybe think about it. Think about filling up the rest of the seats in this sanctuary. Think about with the lost person, not a person that's saved. Although if they don't have a church place, they are welcome here. But we want to fill this up with unsaved people so that they can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Maybe it's ministering in a small group. Maybe it's helping out with this new thing with the 50,000. Whatever it is, whatever God's calling you to do, you know. Maybe it's financing it. Maybe it's just financing it. Maybe you have enough money and you can finance whatever we need to do. You know what God's wanting you to do. Go out into the deep and let Him and watch Him fill your boat up. So I'm going to open the altar up. I'm going to go down here this morning. And I want you to join me and just pray that God opens our eyes. He opens our hearts to what He wants us to do. And then give us the courage to do it. Won't you come?
You stood before creation. Eternity in Your hand. You spoke the earth into motion. My soul now to stand. You stood before my failure. Carried the cross for my shame. Sin weighed upon Your shoulders. My soul now to stand. So what could I say? And what could I do? Offer this heart, oh God, completely to You.
Congregation, Calvary Baptist Church, to get into the boats and to push out and let down our nets so that You can show us how mighty You are, to glorify You with all that we do. Show us the blessings that are just waiting around the corner for us if we'll only get in the ship and push out. May we be the ones that do that. bless this congregation, Father. Bless these folks that came out this morning because they are the ones that needed to hear this. I am the one that needs to hear this. I need to push out. Father, force me to push out. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.